Well, probably like all of us, if we haven't done it today, we've done it earlier during the week, where we're feeling rather nostalgic going back over all the years of when our contemporary service started. It's just filled with life-changing moments and some pretty profound experiences in worship that really can't be described. It's more life-changing than anything. And it's been a great, great journey. Again, early this morning, Barb and I were talking, and she commented again something that we've been commenting on fairly frequently, and that is that life is all about change. And it's true in all of our lives, all the changes that we've experienced and what we will continue to experience. But attached to change is often fear. And she commented this morning that being married to a minister, there have been some, you know, moves over the years from one church to another and so forth. And she said, we were first married, and whenever there was even a discussion about change, it terrified her. She just never really wanted to move. She always wanted just to stay in one place and stay. But she said, I'm glad we did, because we've had so many different life experiences, and those changes often brings fear. And fear is always crouching at our door. It always wants to dominate. But I think of what Jesus demonstrated and what has been said, that love drives fear away. And that when we say that we trust in God, that we do trust in God. And many of the changes that have come our way have been profoundly spiritual and been very, very helpful. And I've been thinking about over the years too about how special it was in worshiping together. What made it special was the fact that we are all special. There's no one more special than anyone else, but we are special. And in 1 John, which was the reading this morning, in 1 John chapter 3, it really needs to be spoken loudly, because there's an exclamation point at the end of these two sentences. I just read them from my version. John says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Exclamation point. And then he says this, "And that is what we are." Exclamation point. Now, the context in which John is writing is that there were certain philosophies and there were certain people promoting these philosophies that promoted people higher than other people. And John wants to completely dismiss this. So he uses two words in this particular letter. He uses the word anointed, and he uses the word know, K-N-O-W, knowledge. He says, no one has any more anointing than anyone else. And he's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living in us, indwelling in us. And he says, but you have the anointing of the Holy One. Don't let anyone tell you, John says, that someone has more of an anointing than you do. No, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And anyone who wants to say otherwise, John says, is diminishing that anointing. Great thing about God is that he's bringing all of us together, and that Jesus is the Messiah. It's not our knowledge that brings us to God. It's the fact that Jesus has brought us to God, and that God now lives in us. He indwells us, as does Christ himself and as does the Holy Spirit. So in verse 26 of chapter 2 of 1 John, he says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you anything. And I think the word that's not there that could be there is otherwise. Don't let anyone teach you something different than that. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real. It's not counterfeit. So there are things that we can count on. There are things we can know. And it's the person head, if you will, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, and that we all share this together. There's no one more special than anyone else, but we are special. Because he says, based on all of that, he says, see how great a love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what you are. And I think there are times in our lives, especially when change comes our way and we're somewhat reluctant, is to rely on that anointing, is to rely on the fact that God loves us and that we're all here together. At the end of this book, in 1 John chapter 5, he uses the word know, K-N-O-W, 7 times. Because there are people in that church at that time who said, we've got special knowledge, better than anyone else. And the real way to get to heaven, they said, is by your knowledge, by your knowing. Jesus is okay, but he's really not the one who brings us to the Father. It's how much you know. And John just completely wipes that off the map and said, no, you can know that you are God's child. I just read these words and then I'll be finished. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So let me just stop. How many here today believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Just raise your hand if you believe, okay? So with your hand still raised, just let me read this. How many of us believe that Jesus is the Son of God? So keep your hand raised, and I write these things to you in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now we can put our hands down. He gives us this message. You can know this. You can put your stamp of approval on this. You can claim that ownership in Jesus. And so that's why our church is such a proponent of communion and baptism, because it's through the blood of Jesus. And so as we come to Christ, as Jesus gave his life, in communion we celebrate his death, his resurrection. In our baptism, we celebrate Christ's death, the resurrection, but our own death. We now live a new way of life in Christ. So I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. And it's this beautiful relationship that is lifelong, and more than that, it is an eternal relationship, that one day we will see him face to face.